It's Madden Monday after the Super Bowl. Tim Benz and Mark Madden from 105.9 The X. Listen to him Monday through Friday on The X, 3 until 6. Mark was at the bottle shop for an appearance for the Super Bowl as the Chiefs beat the Philadelphia Eagles. Mark, I can't speak for anybody else, but I thought I had a really good year with NFL futures, NFL predictions. I was great in the playoffs, and I was dog crap in the Super Bowl. I got a lot of these wrong. And now I feel stupid going against Mahomes and Reed. The better coach and the better quarterback won.
Well, I picked Mahomes to win because he is the better quarterback. And, yeah, Reed's the better coach, too. I didn't bet, though. I didn't feel strongly enough about it. I bet a bunch of prop bets, and only one came through. I had
our guy Gainwell. Yes.
Yeah. He got over 19 and a half yards. That was the line by the time I got it down, but other than that, you know, I didn't have a great Super Bowl. Then again, I didn't bet much of any significant amount. As far as the game itself goes, I think the better team probably won, but I thought Philly got screwed a little bit on that defensive holding call that gave them a new set of downs and ultimately just, you know, allowed them to run the clock down to kick the field goal as late as they possibly could. I thought that was a very nickel-dimey call, that defensive holding, against Juju Smith-Schuster. I mean, how can you stop him legally? I guess that's one argument to be made for the flag. But I didn't like the call. And
well, wait, Mark, does that fall under the tent of what you often talk about? If it's a hook in the first period, it's a hook in the third? I mean, does that fall under that category? Or did you think it was a bad call, period?
I thought it was a borderline call. I've seen it said that by the letter of the rule, it was holding. And if that's the case, then they should call it. I'm not sure if it was holding or they just got tangled up. I would have hesitated to call it.
I thought it was a hold. I didn't have a problem with it when I first saw it on replay. And if I did, the way to balance that out, the way I rationalize that as a football fan who doesn't want the game to be tainted by the refs, Miles Sanders fumbled that ball. That was returned for the second defensive touchdown.
I mean, that's for sure true. That's a catch and a fumble. No doubt on that.
So I look at that and say it balances out that way. I mean, for the first 35 years of my life, that was a catch and a fumble. And for the last 10 to 15, it has not been.
Yeah, but we talk about balancing out. We shouldn't have to talk about balancing out.
You're right.
Officiating shouldn't be such a major topic after a Super Bowl, but it is.
It is. And, you know, to that point, I don't know how much I'm walking away from the game saying the refs blew it as I am walking away from the game saying, boy, officiating sure is complicated to watch a game these days.
I don't know if I'd say the refs blew it either. And it is complicated. I just don't like that game was decided by that call because it was a great Super Bowl.
How'd you feel about Mahomes being the MVP even those numbers weren't overwhelming?
Should have been Juju, Tim.
Well, it should have been Juju for the pregame outfit. My God, what was he dressed as? The best nomination I saw was a Scottish pilot. I don't know if there's anything.
Tim, I called him on Twitter, Roddy Juju.
Yeah, I hadn't thought about that, but there was a Roddy Piper. Although, Roddy Piper, did he wear a hat in the ring or no?
No. He had a kilt, though. I'm just kind of, you know. Tim, I'm taking what Juju gave me.
Yes.
Yeah, you know, he had a couple big catches in the second half, but I see people saying, oh, you hate that, don't you? First off, you know, nothing that could have happened in this game would have been anything I hated. Second off, if you know, the Juju fans want to talk themselves into thinking that seven catches for 53 yards is a big night, well, then I don't know what to say. I will say he's been a better football player in Kansas City than he was the last couple years of his tenure in Pittsburgh, and I wonder if it's because he's disappeared, relatively speaking, from TikTok and Twitter and, you know, climbing milk crates and all the distractions he made for himself in Kansas City. He became more just of a football player, and I got to think that's caused what the coach in Kansas City demands as opposed to the coach in Pittsburgh.
Mark, I was lamenting having a nice playoff and a nice regular season at the gambling window for myself personally and then a crappy Super Bowl. I guess I know what the Philadelphia defensive front feels like.
I mean,
what happened to them? They were the storyline coming in. They didn't even have a sack the whole game.
It is incredible they didn't have one sack. And really, I wouldn't say they had a ton of pressure, would you?
No, I thought that Mahomes' ability to get rid of the ball, Reed's game plan, and the offensive line for the Chiefs, that coalescing of those three aspects won the game for Kansas City.
Well, and I don't know if this was a flaw on the part of the Eagles' pass rush or something Kansas City spotted and exploited or something I'm making up because I've only watched the game, you know, live and didn't see a tape yet. But it seemed like Mahomes was able to step up in the pocket. Like, the pocket gave him a lot of room vertically. And as long as he didn't, you know, he did some things where he, you know, got outside the pocket too. But there were a number of times he got up in the pocket, even ran the ball, where the Eagles seemed to give some room.
Hurts gave an MVP-worthy performance if it weren't for the actual outcome. I thought that for a lot of the game, he was the best player on the field.
Tim, I thought he outplayed Mahomes, period. Not badly, but definitely.
And I thought that A.J. Brown was the best receiver and Devontae Smith was probably the second best receiver. I guess what the Chiefs were allowing to be given up in terms of their game plan for Kelce, they made up for in other areas like Juju and Tony, and Pacheco had himself a nice game. It just comes down to coach and quarterback, doesn't it, Mark? Again, and what should Steelers fans, what should the Steelers take from that example?
That they're not even close. That they're nowhere close to being in a game like that, nowhere close to challenging teams like those. Nowhere close.
Did you like the pace of the game? Did you like the style of the game up till at least the last 2 minutes where it was largely dictated by that one penalty?
Yeah, except that part where I bet the under. The Eagles, I didn't see the final time of possession, but they had far more snaps, correct?
They did. It was a little bit skewed by that one defensive touchdown. You get a defensive touchdown like that, it usually skews time of possession, but yeah.
Well, yeah, but even more so than that one defensive touchdown would normally indicate. And it's weird because even though the Eagles had the ball a ton, I didn't feel like they ever dictated the game to their pace. Miles Sanders had a hard time getting started running the ball. And even though Gainwater, you know, helped me out by going over, I wouldn't say he was Jim Brown either. So even though a lot of things went the Eagles' way offensively, I don't feel like they controlled the game like you would think, given how much they had the ball.
In fact, the best tweet of the night that I saw was Rihanna had more time on the field than the Chiefs did in the first half, based on her halftime performance and based on numbers of what the Chiefs had because of that touchdown and some of the things you pointed out. Yeah, they ground the clock, but I'm not sure if they felt like even going into halftime, they maximized it to the degree that they should have.
I didn't get Rihanna's performance either. Now, fair play, because I'm not supposed to. I'm 62 years old. But I didn't get it. What was with the dancing? Were they snowmen? The people in parkas? I mean, what was that?
Well, I don't get it either. And, like, that was a painful attempt at lip-syncing throughout most of it.
Well, Tim, I saw Motley Crue and Def Leppard in New Jersey on both Friday and Saturday nights, both groups, both nights. Far better than Rihanna.
Yeah, I was underwhelmed, to say the least. But like you said, that's not my pace. That's not my style of music. I thought she'd have at least some special guests dotted in there, you know, for the Super Bowl, like collaborations to spice it up and move it along.
Yeah, like if you can get Britney Spears on stage with Aerosmith like they did years ago, you should do better than Rihanna and a bunch of people in parkas.
Mark Madden with us. This is the Mad Monday podcast. Make sure you're checking us out on Monday morning for Madden Benz Unfiltered on the Trib Live Facebook stream as well. Mark, your thoughts on the Penguins and their fine win to start the West Coast road trip against the Ducks and then getting their doors blown off by the Kings?
Well, Tim, they can't beat good teams. It's as simple as that. I think their record against teams that are currently in playoff spots, and I did a very rough and quick count looking back at their schedule, but I think they have 10 wins, 16 losses against teams that are currently in the playoffs. But most of those wins came earlier in the season, specifically during that. Remember when they had that like 12-1-1 streak, whatever it was?
Yeah.
They beat some good teams then, but they can't beat good teams now. That game against L.A. was just horrific. So they're probably going to squeeze in the playoffs. They get killed in the first round because guess what they'll play in the playoffs, Tim? A good team. Maybe a real good team with Carolina or Boston. And they'll have no chance to win that series. But they are exactly what they are. And it's kind of playing out like I thought it would. You know, I'm like, you know, maybe you know, maybe it could happen to you earlier or a year later, but they're aging out. They're going the path of, well, I would say the LA Kings, but they're regrouping pretty nicely. But certainly Detroit and Chicago before them. The thing that disturbed me was when that, you know, the Kings are beating the hell out of the Penguins, and that guy cross-checks Sid, and Sid gets so mad he gets ejected, and nobody retaliated on Sid's behalf. What was the score then? 5-0, 6-0 already?
And this it was 5-0 with 10 minutes left, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, I mean, that's the kind of thing where the nearest guy has to punch that guy in the face. And I don't care if it's Rust or Gensel. I think POJ was out there. I think Friedman might have been out there, too. And if so, what was keeping him? That's right up his alley. But that was disgraceful. If Gensel and Rust don't feel they're that kind of player, that's fine. They put them on a different line than Sidney Crosby. But Crosby has founded their feast. He has made – it was Raquel, actually, not Rust. But, you know, Sid's made guys like that. What are they doing standing around when something like that happens?
Mark, as far as the off-the-ice stuff, the trade speculation, I took a call during your show when I was filling in last week. Somebody advanced the idea of why not go out and get themselves a goalie who's, A, better than DeSmith as a backup, but might also be starter-worthy, sort of like a 2023 version of what they did when they got Johan Hedberg, somebody else's good backup.
Yeah, who are you going to trade for that, Tim? How are you going to create the cap space?
Well, the guy that they suggested was now his name escapes me. The guy that's in the minors for Detroit. A guy like that who's...
Nijelkovic.
Yeah, that's it.
Yeah, who are you going to give for him? How are you going to create the cap space?
What's his cap number?
Unless it's like $75, I just don't see what they can do. I mean, let me tell you, one thing we're going to do from now till the trade deadline is outsmart us ourselves about what they can do. What they can do is nothing. They're tight against the cap, and they have 9 guys with full or partial no movement clauses. And the guys who don't have no movement clauses, Tim, those are the guys the other teams really won't be enthused about taking in a deal.
Which goes back to the whole conversation that Hextall tried to stomp out, which was, do you give away picks to exchange salary out? And he seemed none too pleased about that idea.
He shouldn't, because you would do that if the trade you made, if what you got, could save the team, but that trade's not available.
What'd you think of the Tarasenko deal?
I think the Rangers got better. I heard the Devils looking at Timo Meier from San Jose, so maybe they'll get better. What was the prior trade made in our division?
Oh,
the
Islanders
got Bo Horvat, yeah. So all the teams the Penguins are competing with, they're going to get better, but they can't. Hextall killed the team. Killed anything they could do to improve themselves with the Carter and Kapanen contracts. And to a lesser degree, the John Rutta contract, too. Because even though he's done okay, he's only been okay. And you could have got by with Friedman or Weedle, whoever, instead. You'd rather have the cap flexibility not having Rutta would provide than have Rutta.
The funniest thing that I took away from the Tarasenko trade was Patrick Kane's reaction. Hey, that's where I wanted to go.
That was actually pretty funny.
It was. Like, to talk about it that openly, I mean, I get it. Why bother hiding anything? But it was just funny to hear it verbalized so publicly.
Yeah, and also after he had acted as if he might not want to leave.
Right, yeah. Who said, like, this organization has given me so much. Why would I want to go?
I want to break Stan Mikita's, you know, lifetime points, marks, blah, blah, blah.
Mark, let's get back to the Steelers for a second. As they sit and watch all this go down, there's conversation about what they might do for the draft and free agency, etc. I do see, like you have predicted, Joey Porter's kid mocked the Steelers a lot. People won't stop yapping about Jordan Addison. I still think the way to go, though, is somewhere in the trenches.
Yeah, but they're going to take Peasy's kid. I think, and that, you know, whatever, you know, he's a good cornerback, they think, unless he's a safety. But the only way this team, I keep hearing people say this team can make a big jump next year. You hear that too, right, Tim?
Yeah, I hear it. I don't know if I believe it.
Well, let me say the only way it can happen. They have 3 pretty good picks, right?
Yeah, if all 3 rookies contribute and have a huge impact in year 1.
They'll have to start. They'll have to start and be decent players. That's the only way this team makes a jump. And, Tim, the Steelers don't even like to do that. They prefer to not start their draft picks. Troy Polamalu didn't start initially. upon them drafting him. And whoever they do draft him, none of them will be Troy Polamalu. I can assure you of that. So, you know, they're not going to make a big jump. But, yeah, I mean, I would go a cornerback and two linemen with the first three picks. And, boy, by the way, watching Kansas City tonight, watching Creed Humphrey. Creed Humphrey's so good you can tell just watching it on TV.
So a year later, Mark, do you feel better or worse than you did this year after the Super Bowl about where the Steelers are?
Well, I don't care. So that kind of, you know, I mean, do I think they're a playoff team next year? Borderline. Do I think they can win a playoff game next year? Absolutely not. And by the way, Tim, two things I took away from the Super Bowl was the best commercial was definitely Walter White, Jesse Pinkman, and the unexpected return of Tuco Salamanca. Who, by the way, was killed. So that's pretty dramatic. So I thought that was an excellent commercial. I didn't pay too close attention, but anytime you put Walter White on screen, I'm watching. And maybe you can tell me what this was about, Tim. I was kind of leaving the bottle shop. I heard Travis Kelce raging about putting respect on their name. What was that
all
about?
Oh, my God, yeah. Like, he literally went Hines Ward and said nobody gave us a chance.
Yeah, he is. You know what he is? He's an effing meathead imbecile. I don't care how good a tight end he is. He's the best in the game. He's an effing meathead imbecile. Whenever somebody screams about putting respect on our name, when they've had nothing but respect on their name nonstop for 5 years, he is an effing meathead imbecile.
What about the Bush Light commercial? I like that one.
Refresh my memory. What was it? They all run together.
That was the one with Sarah McLachlan. They were making fun of the animal friends thing, you know, where she's singing about all the sick animals, and then she's stuck in a tent with a wolf.
I couldn't hear that. Is that what that was? If they were making fun of the sick animals thing, that's excellent.
Yeah, that was good. Alicia Silverstone, my gosh, it looked like we could do Clueless again tomorrow. She looks great.
She looked great in the Clueless context and the outfits.
Yes, those two I liked a lot. The Ben Affleck, J-Lo one was funny once. I'll probably hate it the next 25,000 times I see it, but the first time I saw it, it was okay.
Yeah, and Matt Damon playing Sonny Vaccaro in that sneaker movie, too.
Yeah, how about that? Boy, Sonny
Vaccaro. The local Pittsburgh legend.
Yeah, Sonny Vaccaro made out great there, didn't he?
Yeah. Did you know Sonny?
I've met Sonny before, yeah.
Yeah, I knew Sonny pretty well because, don't forget, I don't know how this will be in the sneaker movie, but, you know, he invented the Round Ball Classic.
Right, yeah, sure.
Which was in Pittsburgh for years until it moved to Washington, and I think morphed into what's now the McDonald's All-America game, correct?
I think it was the first iteration of that. I'm not sure if the through line sponsorship-wise is that, but I think you're
I think it is, Tim. Well, put it this way. I know that those are the two games Sonny was involved with.
How'd you feel Tony Romo did in the Caddyshack knockoff?
You know, I liked that the first time I saw it. Then when I saw it the times after with the different, you know, versions of it, I liked it less every time and realized I probably didn't like it that much in the first place.
Mark Madden, you can check him out with me on Madden Benz Unfiltered at 9:30, and he's back on the air on Monday at 3 o'clock on 105.9 The X. Be listening.
You know what's great about Sonny too, Tim?
What's that?
This is, I swear to God, this is true. Every time I ran into Sonny would reach into his omnipresent bag, and if he had my size sneakers, he'd give me a pair right then and there. Tim, must have happened, you know, like three or four times, including the last time I ran into was an airport in a shuttle when I was working for World Championship Wrestling. And he just hauled out the shoes. He goes, "Hey, Mark, what's going on? What size are you again?" And boom, there it is.
Madden Benz Unfiltered, 9:30 on Monday. Check it out on the Trib Live Facebook stream.